Comes a four. All right, let me ask you this then while she's passing those out and we're finishing up. What did we talk about last week in 2 Timothy 3?
Oh, treating your Bible, right.
Good job, Brooke.
Right.
Yeah. Does anybody remember the guy who I gave you as an illustration for the Bible? He was burned at the stake.
William Tyndale,
yes. Good job. William Tyndale is one. I would ask you, let me ask you this, just to see how good you're listening. I told you there was a percentage of the Bible that William Tyndale wrote in our English Bible, well, not wrote. You guys were all pretty close. It's around 80, so good job. What does inspired mean?
God breathed.
Inspired means drive. Oh, inspired means God breathed in the Greek. Good job.
I knew that was in here last week.
Yes. So, 2 Timothy 4, Bible scholar right here, Cody. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Last week we did talk about the Bible and how important it is and how we ought to treat it. So my wife gave me a good illustration. I think, did you want to share it or do you want me to? Oh, she was just talking about how for the American flag, we would never let the American flag touch the ground. At least you're not supposed to. And so the same thing with our Bibles, but we'll toss our Bible on the floor, leave it on the floor all the time, but we'd never even do that to the flag. So it was an apt illustration, I thought. Yes, ma'am.
If you put an American flag in this country, you're not supposed to touch the ground.
Exactly. And so that's exactly where we should probably share our Bible. Out of respect. We want to do it out of respect. Yes. So you learn something new every day. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Starting verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let's pray, then we'll jump into this. Got a long ways to go. Lord, we love you. Once again, we do thanks for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for this youth group. God, I thank you for every young person that made the effort to come out here tonight. Lord, I should please work in our hearts, God, through your word, and we'll thank you for all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're coming to the last chapter of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul's wrapping it all up. I told you 2 weeks ago we hit the key, the pinnacle. Now it is Paul saying, you know what, Timothy, this is what you got. You got to get serious about the truth. In chapter 4, he's going to be wrapping everything up, coming to a close. He starts out the book by saying this: I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom. So let's fill in the first couple blanks and then we'll jump in. The responsibility of a preacher. You say, Pastor Burden, I don't plan on being a preacher. Why do I need to know the responsibility of a preacher? Because number one, it's inspired in the Word of God. Second thing is, I think it would help you as you grow to know exactly what a man of God should be. And then, you know what? Honestly, we don't think about this a lot, but you know that the qualifications of a pastor are the same qualifications for every single Christian. There's not one thing that God requires of a pastor that he doesn't require out of every Christian. He wants us to know the Word of God, not being a novice. He all wants us, for a man, to be a husband of one wife. He wants us to, a lot of times we think that just because you're a pastor, there's some kind of huge standard that no one else can attain, and that's not biblical. So we want how to be preachers, how I ought to live. So we go to this responsibility of a preacher. The word for their charge. Charge does not mean to run forward at the enemy with a sharp-edged object. Charge means to instruct authoritatively. To instruct authoritatively. And the word quick means alive and living. So the Bible says, I charge thee, Paul says, I'm using my authority to tell you something, that one day Jesus Christ shall judge the quick, which is the alive and the dead. I know that sometimes you think the quick is the person that got out of the way so they're not dead anymore, but it really just means alive. So the alive and the dead is appearing in his kingdom. So here's what Paul is saying. I grab my authority and charge you, Timothy, to move forward. I'll give you an illustration. the word charge, sometimes me and Sean in play. And sometimes I'll say things to Sean that I don't intend for her to do. We're just goofing off. I say, Sean, go get me my slippers or something, just goofing off. And we're just playing and just goofing off. And I know that she knows that right now she is not disobedience for her not to do that. If she doesn't go get them, she knows that I'm not going to jump off the chair in a rage and like, why aren't you listening to me? Hopefully I don't ever do that anyway. But she knows that I'm not going to do that. But there are some times where we're playing, and probably the biggest time is when it's time for bed. We're playing, and I'm like, Sean, it's time for you to go to bed. And she keeps playing. And then I have to charge her. I have to pull out the dad card. Shylin, it's time to go to bed. And when she knows when the voice changes and I pull out the dad card that, okay, this is not a joke, that if I don't get ready for bed, there's going to be consequences. Well, here's what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, I told you about the truth. Now I'm charging you because there's a serious reason. See, one day, Timothy, I'm charging you before the Lord. There's going to be a judgment. And so you're going to have to get busy. We don't often think about the judgment, do we? It would change our behavior if we did. If we thought that not only ourselves, that Aaron Burden is going to have to give an account to God for the things that he's done. That's the one reason a lot of times atheists don't want to believe in God. Because no one wants to think about that. I have to give an account. He says, Paul says, I charge you, Timothy, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, that there's going to be a judgment. God's going to judge the living and the dead. Let me ask you this. Do you think about others standing before God? That one day, your loved ones will have to stand before God. And Paul says, hey, Timothy, I'm getting serious. I charge thee. Because God's going to judge the quick and the dead. We go on. Paul charged Timothy that his responsibility as a young pastor is to preach the word. So Paul tells him what to do. Preach the word. When do I preach the word, Paul? Anytime. Instant means to be ready. Has nothing to do with Polaroids. When, anytime, instant, be ready, in season, out of season, which means convenient, opportune times, or not convenient, or opportune times. So the job of a preacher is to be ready to preach the word at any time. It's funny. Sometimes we think of preaching as being able to stand up in front of people and open the Bible and do a little preaching. But if you look at this passage, preaching just means to herald the truth. So he says, the fact that there's no difference between what God calls a pastor to do than God calls a regular Christian to do, other than maybe stand up in front of preaching different things. But as far as their character in their life, so he says this, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. You got to be ready at all times. Pastor Tom was telling me today that he got a phone call in the middle of the night. You know what he had to do? He had to be ready, be instant, in season, out of season. Pastor Ferguson, I saw him today. I was like, hey, how's your day going? He just looked at me. And he said, it's going well. And I know, in looking at his eyes, that there's probably been one or two things that haven't gone the way he's wanted them to go. Why? Because as a preacher, the first job is to be instant, in season, out of season. I have to be ready with the word of God. I have to know it in good times, in opportune times, or when it's not so convenient. We move on. He says, not only that, but be ready. When? How? This is what the pastor's job is to do. This is why I think you need to know. The pastor's job is to do three things. To reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. So reprove means this, to convince. To convince. There's some people that do things wrong ignorantly. There's some people that don't know. And if you sat down and had the conversation with them and said, hey, you know, you ought not be doing that, they would probably say, oh, you know what? You're right. I probably wouldn't. I believe there's some people that, we'll throw the thing of rap music out there just for kicks and giggles. I'm sure there are some people that if you sat down and rationally said, hey, you know what? Rap music is probably harmful to you because of this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. There are some people, according to Proverbs, the Bible says a wise man will hear increased learning, that they'll say, oh, you're right, I never thought about it that way. And see, one of the jobs of the pastor, of the preacher, and should be one of ours, is to be able to convince people of the truth. But you know how you do it? You have to know the truth. You have to know it. You can't convince anybody of truth if you don't know it. If someone came up to you right now and asked you, How do you know you have eternal life? Could you sit down and convince someone and say, oh, you know what? I have eternal life because in the Bible I can turn over to 1 John 5:13 and show them from the Word of God how I have eternal life. You know what? It's to bring someone, to convince someone to come to Christ. And you can't do that if you don't know the truth. This is why last week we talked about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. God has given us the thing that thoroughly furnishes us to do everything that I need. But you know what? I can't do that. I can't be ready if I don't know the Word of God. Secondly, his job is this. To rebuke. Rebuke. To warn or reprimand someone firmly. When the pastor usually does this, people usually leave the church. Rebuke. To warn or reprimand someone firmly. You know what rebuke is? Rebuke is someone who knows or desires to go the direction they're going, and you just have to go ahead and get in their face. Now, I'm gonna tell you, this is my least favorite thing, even in youth group. When you guys, if one of you guys is doing something you're not supposed to, I am going to tell you, I am not one of those people that just like, well, just jump and nip it in the bud, get up in their face and just tell them how it is. I'm not that kind of person. And so, when it comes to rebuke, this is not my thing, but as a pastor, that's the job of a preacher, is to tell you that, hey, you are doing wrong and tell you how you can do it correctly. We hate being told we're wrong, don't we? It's like, even if we know, I know that I'm wrong, I still don't want you to tell them. Talk to me about it. Someone came into my office today and was telling me some things that they thought that I could do better. And you know what? When they first said it, everything was to me was, what are you in my office for? Like, why did you come in here to tell me that maybe I could do something? But you know what? Why is it? My pride. Well, I did it right that time. And I'm not worried about going to change it because I did it right. But one of the jobs of the pastor is to go up to rebuke. And we don't like being rebuked. No one wants the pastor to come up and say, hey, what you're doing, you ought not to be doing as a Christian. And the first thing we do is clam up. Even if the pastor's right, even we know, you know what, I shouldn't have cursed at that person. But just because he came in my face, I'm not right, he's wrong. We hate to be. But that's one of the pastor's jobs, to reprove, to rebuke. He goes on, to exhort. See, I like the exhort part. It means to strongly encourage. To strongly encourage. With long suffering and doctrine. So the pastor's job, the preacher's job, is to come alongside, is to encourage with long-suffering and doctrine. He's supposed to be patient with them, and then with doctrine. Now, this is the part where I want to get to, verse 3 and 4. The character of those who reject God's word, the responses of people. So Paul says, Timothy, your job is to preach the word, to be insistent. Be ready when you don't want to be. Be ready at all times. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. This is why. Because he said, these are the days that are coming. And this is where we live, because I would say that these next few verses may even define people in this room, myself included. Because when we look at it, he says, I want you to preach the word. You've got to tell them the truth, because this is what's going to happen. He goes on. The word, like three characters of those who reject God's word. Number one, they avoid the truth. Verse number 3. The blank before that, the three characters of those who reject God's word.
What?
The characters of those who... There's no 3 there. The characters of those who reject God's word. Number 1, they avoid the truth. Verse number 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word endure there means this. It means to put up with. And the word sound means whole. They avoid the truth. We live in a day where we seek hard to avoid the truth. No one wants to look in the mirror, compare themselves with God's word, and you say, you know what, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. We avoid the truth. The Bible, Paul says, Timothy, I'm going to charge you, because it's serious, that people are going to stand in judgment. So you have to preach the word, because the time's going to come, where they're not going to endure sound doctrine. People will come to a church. And they know it's a church. It has a steeple, it has a cross on the top. It says church on the outside, and they'll come in, and they'll walk up, and they'll sit in a pew, and the pastor will open the Word of God, and the pastor will tell them the truth. You know what they do? I'm not going there anymore. Can you imagine going to the doctor, and like sitting down on the little bed thing there, as awkward as it is to go to the doctor, because you got to sit there, and they're like, just get down into your underwear, and you go sit there, and then they leave the door wide open. You're like, could you please shut the door? Like, this is weird. But as you're sitting in the doctor, and they stick the stethoscope on you, that, yeah, I said that all wrong. But they put that thing on the, do your heartbeat, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. And they're like, hey, you got serious heart problems. Whatever. Would you get on with this? No, I'm serious. You probably need to go to the hospital right now. I'm not coming back to this doctor anymore. They're dumb. Like, he told me I had heart problems. I'm going to get a second opinion, the next doctor. Don't. Yes, you probably need to get the hospital. Right. You guys don't know what you're talking about. And you keep walking. This is the day we live in. Paul says, Timothy, you're going to have to preach the word because there's going to come a day where people will not put up with right teaching. Hey, let me tell you from the Word of God, you ought not do that. Well, Pastor Vernon just doesn't know what he's talking about. And can I tell you this real quick, just so you know, that when I talk about sound doctrine, I am not talking about man's necessary preaching. I'm talking about from the Word of God. I have stood in places, well, sat in places, and listened to preachers preach things that were not Bible. And people walked away offended. I mean, they did walk away. I won't name the place I was at. But there, I was at a meeting to where the preacher there jumped up on the pulpit and sat down the front. I'm not going to do that because this pulpit cannot support my muscular physique, but he jumped up on the pulpit, and he went like this. He said, there's some of you women out there with mini skirts on that look like this. And he started pointing out the thing, like, and I'm talking about you, Ozzy, right there. And I remember like sitting there like, what in the world? Now, if that lady walked out, I bet you that pastor would have said, she was just convicted by the truth. You know what? That's not convicted by the truth. That's convicted because you're an idiot. That's one, sorry. That you have problems. And so when we look at the truth, I'm not talking about man-made standards. So now I'm not saying that there's any miniskirts are a good thing. So please don't take that away. Pastor Burton said that preaching miniskirts, he was all wrong. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to point down and call the lady your husband. That is not the truth. Same place a pastor came up, grabbed a TV. Set a TV on the platform. And he said, you know how you get the TV out of your house? He's like, your wife is going to be like, oh, you can't let the TV go. You can't let the TV go. He said, this is what you do. He said, you go into the garage. He said, you bring out an axe. And he did this on the stage, that you bring out an axe. He said, you just pull that TV off the shelf. You just start going at it. And he's doing this right on the stage. Boom! TV parts flying everywhere. He's like, she won't say anything. You just walk around the axe and just look at her. He said, she won't say a thing. Now, can I tell you that is not preaching the truth from the Bible? Now, I'm sure it makes a great illustration. I'm sure people laugh, and when you're doing that in front of the stage, then a lot of people are like, amen, amen, preacher, do it, whatever. And I'm sure it makes a lot, but that's not preaching the truth. And the Bible says Paul told Timothy, preach the word. You've got to preach the word of God, because there's going to come a day when people aren't going to want truth. They're not going to want to stand up and tell you, hey, I'm just telling you love, but you're wrong. They're not going to want that. He goes on, number two. He says they will look for what appeals to them. They will look for what appeals to them. The lusts. The Bible talks about in verse number three. They're going to hate to themselves teachers having itching ears. The lust is a longing, especially for what is forbidden. So what are they going to do? They're going to avoid the truth, but then they're going to start looking for things that appeal to me. The word says heap, to accumulate, to multiply. Teachers, and the word itching there means to tickle. Look it up. Don't have to laugh, it really does. Exactly, that's your deep spiritual truth of the night there. Itching means to tickle. So, the heap, accumulate, to multiply, itching to tickle. So he says this is what they're going to do. They're going to heap to themselves, they're going to grasp all these people that will tickle their ears. Here's what they're saying. They're going to say, hey, I don't want to go to the doctor that tells me the truth. I want to go to the doctor that, even though I have heart problems, the doctor just says, doop, doop. Oh, you're fine, man. that sounds good to me. And then walk out. I love this guy. He knows exactly what he's talking about. See, I don't have any problems. And that's what the Bible says they're going to do. They're going to avoid the truth. Hey, I don't want to go there anymore. And then they're going to heap to themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. You look on television. And I am not saying that every... So do not take this either the wrong way. I'm not saying that every preacher that preaches on television is wrong. But I am saying there are lots of men that preach on the television that are doing it for the money. Watched a YouTube video today of a guy that I knew of, and I thought about showing you guys just because... But then I thought, nah, because I can't condone most of the things he does. But I was watching one of his videos, and he pulls up. I mean, he comes from behind the stage. They have a huge mega church. And he drives from behind the stage in a Rolls Royce. And he drives it right up on the platform. And he's like, oh, man, this is so nice. And he's like, they have cameras in the car because it's a huge mega church. And so he's making faces in the camera like he's the man. He's getting out. And he gets out. And he uses this as his opening introduction illustration. He talks about the car for like 2 or 3 minutes. And he walks away. And that was his opening illustration to open up his conference on marriage. And I remember thinking he was talking about how great this car was and everything like that. And I was like, but what does it have to do with the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying, if he could have brought out some great illustration and tied the Word of God, I would have been like, wow, that was brilliant. Find a Rolls Royce dealership and use that sometime. But if he had, but when I watched it, it was like, there was nothing there. Because they just want to go to church to be tickled. Oh, did you see Pastor today? He drove out, our pastor drove out on the platform with a Rolls Royce. He got out and he was rubbing the dashboard and everything. Yeah, it was great. What did he preach on? I don't know. But he had a Rolls Royce. But why? Because the Bible says they're going to avoid the truth. Hey, I don't want a preacher that preaches the Word. I want one that tells me what I want to hear. Saw the another. Oh, well, I didn't want to mention any names, but let's just throw Joel Osteen out there for just a little bit. I have heard with my own ears Joel Osteen's interview with Larry King, and Larry King asked Joel Osteen, why do you not preach against sin? And you know what Joel Osteen said? That is not my ministry. Preach the Word. Be in sin, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and dark... I mean, no, with all long-suffering and darkness. And doctrine. So when we look at it, hey, that is my ministry. And you know what? I am not... Joel Osteen's probably a great guy. He's probably a nice guy. If you sat down and had lunch with him, you'd probably have a good time. But can I say, as a pastor, he's not where he is, and he's tickling ears. And see, this is what the Bible says is going to happen. He said, Timothy, you've got to preach the truth to people. And he said that what's going to come is they're going to avoid it. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to listen to that guy. He just tells me how it is. Second thing is, they're going to just come and want their ears to go, ah, is he a great speaker? Then yes. You look at all kinds of speakers. There's so many famous speakers, and what they do tell you? Look in the mirror every morning and tell yourself how great you are. And you go out and conquer the day. Now, if that works for you, good. But guess what? It's not biblical. There's nowhere in the Bible where God says, look in the mirror. Actually, he says in James, if a man look in the mirror and forgets what man he was, he said to be hearers of the word, not doers. I mean, doers of the word, not hearers only. So he never says, look in the mirror and tell you how great you are. He said, pretty much, look in the word of God and find out how terrible of a sinner you are and how much you need God. So when we look at the teachers, number one, they're going to avoid the truth. Number two, I mean, when we look at the people, they're going to avoid the truth. Then they're going to grab themselves, teachers having itching ears. And then we're lesson number three. They avoid the truth and accept lies. They avoid the truth and accept lies. End of verse number four says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables are tales and fiction. They avoid the truth and accept lies. So here's the process that goes through. Paul says, Timothy, preach the word. Because there's going to come a day when people are going to avoid the truth. Hey, I don't want anybody to tell me what I ought to wear. I don't want anybody to tell me what I ought to do with my life. I don't want anybody to tell me. And they're going to avoid the truth. Hey, don't tell me. I don't care who says it. I don't want to do it. He said, but then they're going to heap to themselves people that say what sounds good. Oh, wait. Oh, if I go to your church, it's amazing. I Googled today, just for the fun of it, the weirdest churches. And you know what? There's some weird things out there that people call church. There's some crazy stuff that people call church. I mean, that's totally against the Bible, but you know what happened? Somewhere someone said at some church, hey, you ought not do that from the Word of God. And you know what somebody said? Well, I'll just go start my own church. And so they have offthewallchurchwhatever.com. And so they make their own church. And you know what? They teach themselves teachers. Hey, you not believe that? Oh, yeah, come on over here then. Hey, you come over here. And then we make our own church. Hey, see, we're correct because we have our own church. And then it goes to the other part. The last part is, and then they give heed to fables, to lies. Hey, what do you do at your church? Oh, well, we're the church of Seinfeld. So when we watch Seinfeld episodes, stupid stuff that people do, actually doing church. People, there's old churches that watch Andy Griffith for Sunday school. And it's like, you know what? Hey, this is great. Whatever. But when you look at the thing is, now I'm starting to believe a total lie. What did you do in Sunday school this morning? Oh, we watched a great episode of Andy Griffith. I mean, it was funny. Barney Fife was doing all this stuff. Yeah, it was great. Well, where was the Word of God? That doesn't matter. Because I went to church. Are you judging me? Because I'm telling you, I was in Sunday school. I was at church. And you know what? We start to give heed to fables. Things that don't even make sense. We look at the lies of something like evolution. That the world was just appeared out of nothing. And you know what? If you hear it and listen to it, you can say, you know what? That Genesis 1:1 account where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that's not truth. But after I listen to it long enough, after I've gone totally against it, I'm starting to avoid the truth. I don't want to hear that creation stuff. I don't want to hear it. I'm a real scientist. I know. Then we go to, I start to heap to myself teachers that talk what I want to. Oh, you believe in evolution? Oh, come on. You believe? Oh, yeah, come over here. See, I told you. And the internet makes it so great for us today because people can just connect to somebody in Timbuktu that believes the same weird thing that you believe. You can find them online. Oh, this is great. And so you grab those two together and you go, oh, we have a belief. And then you know what? You go to the farthest extreme. Now, I believe. Well, see, they over there believe it. But we get so far away from the truth. This is why I say this. Why I would even go tonight and say, what should a preacher do? You see, one day you're going to be hopefully a dad and a mom. You're going to walk and sit down in the church, if it's not here at Trinity. You're going to walk in and you're going to sit on the pew. And you're going to hopefully have your little family sitting beside you. Man, this is a great church. And you're going to sit down. Hey, kids, pay attention. And you're going to look at it, and then the pastor's going to start saying something off the wall. Whoa. Where does he get that from in Scripture? But you know what sometimes will happen? This will happen. Go to that same church. Sit down. Oh, wow. A lot of cool people here. Man, they're really friendly. Oh, man, I love the music.
Yeah, I love
the music here. And then the pastor will preach a message. Ah, oh, man, that was so inspirational. I know I didn't need to bring this tonight, but it was so inspirational. I mean, I'm ready to go to work in the morning. And you'll sit down with that. And Paul's saying this, Timothy, I'm charging you. I'm pulling my authoritative card. You've got to preach the word. Because what's going to happen is people are going to avoid the truth. And what next thing they're going to do is they're just going to start grabbing themselves teachers that believe the same thing. And now they're going to believe it. And then finally, they'll be reduced to fables and lies. Oh, is that what you do at your church? Oh, is that what you believe? Oh, that's no problem. That's what happens when we get away from the truth. But Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. That's why you guys need to know. What does a preacher need to do? He needs to reprove, rebuke, exhort. So if a pastor gets him, nah, he shouldn't get in your face. But if the pastor comes and tells you, hey, what you're doing from the Word of God, I mean, he shows you Bible. I'm not talking about just pulling stuff out of the air. He shows you Bible. Hey, you know what? This is probably the wisest thing in your life. You know what you should probably do? The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase learning. So that's why you need to know. Why does Timothy need to preach the word? Because there's going to come a day that if I'm not careful, I could be seduced into all kinds of lies. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for once again for the opportunity to be in your house. God, I ask that you please help us, Lord. I pray for the same thing for myself. God, that I would do the job that you called me to do, and then also, God, that we would not be pulled in or to every lie. God, there's so many things in our world today, Lord, especially with young people, Lord, and especially with the internet and things, Lord, that, Lord, pull us in. And Lord, we start to get pulled in and think that this is truth. And Lord, we start to follow all kinds of fables. How would you help us once again to go back to the truth, Lord, that you've given us your word, Lord, that has made us thoroughly furnished into every good work. We love you and we need your help in every area. We'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.